Here on a Thursday, it's the Morning Tailgate. Vinny Bonsignore, Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker here with you on Raider Nation Radio. And let's get to it. Lincoln Kennedy joins us now as we try to delve in to find some answers behind the questions of the Raiders' stunning loss to the Panthers and also how to kickstart the offensive line. Link, thank you for joining us here as a Raiders analyst and former Raider great. All right, what was the first thing you saw on the Panthers' opening drive on offense? What was their offensive line doing to negate the pass rush from the Raiders?
Well, first of all, it's good to be with you guys. Good morning.
Thank you for doing
everyone out there at Raider Nation Radio. Listen, going into last week's game, I knew it was going to be a little bit haphazard because Max Crosby wasn't 100%. Now, he's been the main catalyst for this team that puts them over the top. So I honestly believe, you look around and talk about impact players around the league, how if they're not having a good game, how the rest of the team is going to follow. It's always, it's curious for me to see how that's going to unfold. But, what happened was so disappointing and disheartening. I know you guys probably talked about it ad nauseum, especially this late in the week, but to have another geriatric quarterback come into Allegiant Stadium and have another good game reminds me of Max Ryan last year when he came with Jeff Saturday, or a couple years ago when they came to Indianapolis. So we got to find a way to stop making these geriatric quarterbacks look good.
Yeah, I completely agree, Lincoln, and thanks for joining us today. But I want to go right to the offensive line because, Antonio Pierce has talked about that being a focal point or something that they can hang their hat on. We go back to last year, the last four games of the year with Zamir White and this offensive line that's not entirely intact, but there's a lot of components that are here that were there last year, and the Raiders Zamir White led the NFL in rushing those last four games of the last year. He was the highest, in terms of yards per carry over the last four games of the NFL. It's not a big sample size, but I feel like enough of a sample size, and I fully expected that to continue this year, and I'm shocked that the running game hasn't gotten untracked in any sort of a way, and we have to start at the offensive line. What are you seeing that's not happening on the offensive line that's holding this running game back?
It's been inconsistencies across the board. The fact is that, you mentioned last year how this offensive line played together towards the end of the year and how they were successful. Well, that's because they were playing together. This offensive line, look, the truth of the matter is you don't have a specific combination. You can't right now tell me what are the starting five for the offensive line for the Las Vegas Raiders. You don't know it because there's been too many interchangeable parts. Now, that affects chemistry. That affects the ability to understand what the next guy is doing or the guy next to you is doing on any given day circumstance with the defense and everything else. You have to learn how to play together. This offense as a whole hasn't played together for various reasons. Colt Miller comes off of a surgery. Well, you have to, usher him in and slowly get him right. But he didn't play in the preseason, didn't play with the starting group. JPJ comes back, from his injuries and only had, 21 snaps, I think it was, this past game or something like that.
Yep.
You've got to find a way to finalize or solidify your starting five, then put them out there. And you have to put them out there. This, the problem becomes, Vinny and guys, this team has no identity.
Yeah.
You can't tell me what the Raiders are offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me what they are defensively, but you can't tell me what they are offensively. That's a problem for somebody like me into the first month of football.
Mm-hmm.
You have no identity. Where do you go? So there's no short or correct answer on how. It's just going to take one time, and it's going to take somewhat patience. I know a lot of Raider Nation doesn't want to hear about it. They've been patient for over two decades?
Right.
It's going to take some patience. These things don't happen overnight. And what more importantly the Raiders have to understand is that this a different blocking scheme. You don't have a true blocking tight end, which prevents you from really being able to stretch the outside. More importantly, you're not getting enough push from your five guys. They're not winning the line of scrimmage overall. That was different last year. They've got to get back to that.
Link, I just want to piggyback off that. It's great to hear from you this early in the morning here on the Morning Tailgate. But, time is not necessarily a luxury the Raiders seem to have. I know we're only a month in the season. So how do you balance patience and finding a way to win a football game?
Well, there, there's really no reason to throw up the surrender flag, if you will. It's only we're only at our fourth game throughout the season, so there's still a lot of football that has to be played. But there is a sense of urgency, and I think you know when you look at it as a whole for what we have right now in the first month of football, you have to back up and really give yourself an honest answer when you say, okay, approaching this first month of football when we saw the schedule, how did you really expect the Raiders to be?
2-2.
And where did you really expect the Raiders to be? Before you knew anything, before you knew how Carolina was going to be, before you knew how Cleveland was going to be, before you knew any of the teams, where did you put the Raiders after the first month of football? Once you answer that for yourself, then you say, okay, where are we? Now, we're nowhere close where we need to be in order to be competitive. When you turn on the TV and look at teams just in the AFC alone, nowhere where you need to be competitive. But they have to figure it out, just like those other teams have. You have to deal with what you have. There's no, we can't sit here and hold our hat on, put our hat on, well, we're going to draft this guy next year. No. You got to play with what you have right now, and then before your season goes into demise. And so the biggest chip that you're looking at chasing are who? In your division, that's already won the Super Bowl a couple times, Kansas City Chiefs. Find a way to beat them. You're not there yet. Find a way to beat the Chargers consistently. You're not there yet. Yes, you might have had the Broncos number over the last couple of years, but they're getting better. Talk about the rest of the AFC. Carolina was a very winnable game, in my opinion, for the Raiders. They let one go. Now they've got the Cleveland Browns coming in, which I think another time is another winnable game for the Raiders. We'll see who shows up on Sunday.
Lincoln Kennedy here with us on the Morning Tailgate. All right, to the Cleveland Browns defensive line. That is a very strong group, even the edge rushers and linebackers that go and rush the quarterback. What would you like to see the Raiders offense do to negate that pass rush?
I would like to see them move the ball against anybody. Yeah. Move the ball consistently. And look, here's the thing. You know, before, and I know what you guys do, obviously appreciate it, been in that line of work where you have to look forward and talk about break things down. Right now, the Raiders don't know who they have. So I can't tell you what you can forecast against someone else because I don't know what's going on. Any given Sunday, I don't know what's going on with this team. I've seen highs. I've seen lows. I've seen inconsistencies. I've seen times where they look dominant. I've seen times where I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. Wait a minute, what's the offense? You can't get a first down? I can't get behind that. I can't justify that. You know what I mean? I can't make sense of that. They've got to simplify things for themselves and figure it out. And more importantly, there's got to come a point in time where there's a mental overload with these players where they, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to kick the butt of the guy that's across from me. I want to see that consistently on every phase of this team. I haven't seen it yet.
We're talking to former Raider great Lincoln Kennedy, our great friend and a part of the broadcast team on game days. Lincoln, going back really quick to the offensive line, you know, we've heard about the scheme change. It's more of a zone blocking scheme right now. Last year, it felt like they were more of a power run team, especially over those last four games of the season. In a layman's term or from a layman's perspective, are we making too much of a scheme change, not enough of a scheme change? Is it a dramatic change, asking players to do something dramatically different, or is it more subtle? And how much do you put on the scheme change for maybe what, you know, some of what we're not seeing from this offensive line?
Well, here's the thing. I will go back, you know, you reflect last year. I thought Thayer Munford, I thought him and Dylan Parham, especially on the right side, working together was a good thing as far as their run blocking, power run blocking. They were more man and man over individual power run blocking, which was good for their scheme and personnel last year. I saw those guys come off and move the ball. Haven't seen it as much this year. There's been a couple times where Parham's been pushed in the backfield. I don't know if it's hurt, but he hasn't got – you got to own the line of scrimmage when you talk about the run game, guys. You got to control the line of scrimmage, whether it's zone or man. You got to make sure you don't have any penetration. If running backs are making cuts in the backfield, the moment they get the ball, there's too much penetration. You're not controlling the line of scrimmage. It's hard to be successful that way. So with that being said, switching to a zone scheme, I have to see it come together. I have to see Glaze and Powers Johnson work together, if you will, on that right side. If that's going to be your right side lineup, I have to see them being able to control the line of scrimmage. I have not seen in the three collective games we've seen so far, preseason excluded because it's just vanilla, it doesn't count. And the three games that we've seen so far, I have not seen the Raiders control the line of scrimmage on the run game.
Lincoln, what do you make of Jaxson Powers-Johnson rotating in with Dylan Parham on the right side, like you said, as opposed to with Cody Whitehair, which I think everybody presumed that he was going to be the left guard. That's what he played. That's where he was earmarked to play. I'm kind of confused about why it was Dylan that he was rotating in and out with rather than Cody Whitehair.
I mean, Vinny could attest to this. I've heard some just gatherings. Is Dylan messed up or a little banged up?
Yeah, he had a foot last week, yes.
Okay, so that might be it, putting him on the right side. Look, here's the thing. I've always believed when it comes to the offensive lineman, you're not going to make the club in a tub. Get your ass out there and play. And for the most part, the parts are interchangeable. I know some people might make a fuss about it, you know, left, right side. I'm not one of those guys. I played on both sides. I played both tackles. I played both guards. The only thing I didn't play was center. Mm-hmm. So I think for the most part, other than center, the parts are interchangeable. It's just a matter of which hand you want to put down. So I don't mind wherever he gets on the field, just needs to get in there. Now, it hasn't been enough of a sample size over JPJ. We know what he did in Oregon. And, of course, I covered him Pac-12 games and stuff like that. But, you know, let's put it in perspective. He hasn't played enough on this level to really assess what he's going through. So you got to get him out there. He's got to get reps. And more importantly, he's got to learn the speed of the game during game day because you can't duplicate that in practice.
Link, I know the phrase business decisions has kind of overshadowed the week and it's kind of dominated headlines, you know, here as well as nationally. I know you said you don't know what to expect out of this team come Sunday because you've seen so many different things in such a small sample size. But I guess I'm curious, what is the only proper reaction, aside from the obvious of going out and getting a win on Sunday against Cleveland? What is the reaction that you would presume from this group moving forward because of what we heard Sunday's postgame?
Well, you want to see progress instead of regress. I don't mind AP coming out and holding the players accountable. That's what you should do. I don't care how much you're getting paid. There's nobody, in my opinion, guys, there's nobody, and I have a saying, there's nobody who's above the boo. If you play like crap, boo. And you deserve to be booed. If you play better, you deserve to be cheered. That's what you're here for. Your fans want to be entertained. They want to see you win. Nobody wants to pay their hard money to Legion Stadium and come and see you get beat down by a lonely team that only scored 13 points in the two games before. Nobody wants to see that. So rise up. Be accountable. You're a man. You're a professional. Go out there and show it. I'm hoping to see progress rather than regress. The fact is that it's disheartening as a former offensive lineman when you line up and you can't get a third down and one or a fourth down and one. That hurts my pride. What do you mean? You're big ass, as much as you lift, as much as you play, you be paid, you can't push somebody 6 inches? Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with that. So I have a problem. So I don't mind being held accountable. Business as usual means get back to work. Show me that you're a professional, and show me that you deserve to be here.
Do you feel Gardner Minshew has enough time to throw in the pocket?
No.
What needs to change for that?
Better protection. You got to hold up at the point. Mm-hmm. Understand that if you want to try to force 3, 4, 5 guys out, there's going to be less guys hoping up in protection. So guys have got to win their one-on-one matchups when you've got it. If you only got the guys who are rushing 4 against 5, you should say the number advantage should go to the 5, right? That's the way it should be. Guys got to stand up and be professional. Stop getting beat, you know, 2-3 times a game because that's what makes a difference. When you can't get a first down, when you only average in what, maybe less than, I think for the most three games, Vinny, correct me if I'm wrong, they've had averaged around 60 plays.
Yeah, about that, yep. That's not enough.
That's not enough. You're hurting your defense. You're hurting your team. Offense has got to pick it up. You've got to sustain drives. More importantly, you've got to get first downs, time of clock, and score points. Put the pressure on the opponent's offense rather than being on our offense, having to come from behind and try to find a way to win.
You can hear Lincoln Kennedy and Jason Horowitz. Pre-game begins 11:30 here on Raider Nation Radio on Sunday morning. Thank you again for coming on, Lincoln. It's really awesome to have you on. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. Be well. Have a good one.
Thanks, Link.
Q's kickoff begins at 10:30. Lincoln and Jason Horowitz at 11:30.
Not above the boo. Above the boo. Love that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's don't start asking everyone to praise you and respect you until you earn that. And I feel like maybe there was a lesson learned in terms of, you know, priorities after coming off that Baltimore Ravens win. At least I would hope that that's the case. But But again, you know, the unknown about this team, and Lincoln, you know, brought this up, not knowing what to expect. And I'll say this too, and I had a conversation about this with Devontae yesterday. You look at the standings, and there's a lot of teams right now that are trying to figure it out. There's a lot of teams. The Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3. The Baltimore Ravens are, what, 1-2? The best they can do after this week is 2-2, which is the best the Raiders can be after this week is 2-2. You know, so there's a lot of teams right now that are in this, that are in the same exact world that the Raiders are in. We're hypersensitive to it because that's the team that we cover. But if you go around the league, there's more of this situation than there is of a better situation. So it does drive home the fact, and Lincoln kind of brought this up, Vince, coming into this year, what were your expectations 4 games into the season?
Yeah, I thought I think we agreed 2-2 would be great.
So if you get to 2-2,
but to Devontae's point, I also do think there's a matter of how it looks, right?
No doubt about it.
But I understand what you're saying. Totally get what you're saying. In the grand scheme of things,
you just got to go.
You can't, as Antonio said, you can't grab the parachute, jump out of the plane yet.
Right.
I mean, you're not there yet, but. We are hypersensitive.
2-2, hoping you're going to get to where you really want to be the way it looks.
Because 1 week can change it. Look, 1 week changed it in the opposite way for the Raiders. But 1 week can change it back and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're good now. And as Antonio Pierce said, we're good.
It's probably the most unique thing about the NFL compared to other sports. And to Devontae's point yesterday, what he said was, you know, But you can't get into a spot where, while you're figuring it out, which a lot of teams are, including the Raiders, you can't lose so many games along the way of that process that when you do figure it out, like the Raiders have done, they kind of did toward the end of last year, right?
Yeah.
They were in such a deep hole that they couldn't climb out of that hole. So the 2-2 is important, even though it might not look the way everyone wants it to look. The 2-2 is hugely important, and if you can sort of bank some of these wins along that way so that when you get to that point where maybe you have figured it out, and we don't know if the Raiders are or won't, but let's just assume that they will, you're going to have a nice little cushion for yourself to not have to dig yourself out of that hole that the Raiders keep digging themselves for. So that's this to me, this is a hugely – I'm not going to say a must-win. But 2-2 looks a hell of a lot different than 1-3.
It was great perspective from Lincoln because, again, we are so close to the team that it's difficult to have that 30,000-foot view of what it looks like.
Yeah.
The other important takeaway is, and he obviously did an incredible job breaking down zone versus scheme, what needs to happen, what's not happening. But at the end of the day, he goes, look, guys, at some point, you just have to – mental overload and say, I'm going to beat the person across from me.
True.
3rd and 1, we can't get 6 inches. I mean, that's a choice at the end of the day. I don't want to put words in Lincoln's mouth, but that's essentially what he was saying.
If you're an offensive lineman, that's a choice.
It's a choice. On a 3rd and 1, on a 2nd and 1, on a short distance, beat the man across from you. It doesn't necessarily mean technique. There's a reason you go lift all those weights. I turned the mic away because I started laughing. Because it's true. I mean, that's what you have to do. At some point, you have to make a choice and say, okay, I need to get out of my head. I just need to beat this man. And that's called winning the point of attack. And yes, he said it's the offensive line is going to take time. I've talked to a bunch of former and current offensive linemen that have said, look, you have to. You can't microwave an offensive line. You have to let it marinate. You have to set it and let it simmer in the crock pot. That's why I asked. I go, how do you balance the time and the patience of letting that happen, but at the same time trying to instill an identity of running the ball? And, again, great perspective, but at the end of the day, it's a mental thing. You got to go win the point of attack.
Yeah, and I know people are complaining about the play calls on some of those short-yarded situations, but to my, you know, watching it, they've tried quarterback sneaks, running it up the middle, running it wide. They've tried every different way to run to get those short yarded situations, and they haven't been, which points to what you are saying and what Lincoln said. Sometimes you just got to make a decision within yourself that I'm going to beat the guy in front of me. And if 5 guys do that, I don't care if you're running it wide or up the middle or it's a quarterback sneak, you're going to probably get it, right? So, you know, it's a problem, and I think that would be a real feather in the Raiders' cap if they can get that sorted out on Sunday and put together a really strong run game and run effort and offensive line effort. By the way, what we're talking about expectations, I could tell you what we know to expect, and that's that we're going to be at the Crust and Roo over in Town Square on Las Vegas Boulevard on Saturday, just like we were last week. And shout out to everybody that showed up. It was a blast. We had a lot of fun. I wish better for Raider Nation in terms of the results on Sunday, but we got another one coming up this week. We're going to be at Crust and Roo. It is at 6825 South Las Vegas Boulevard. They're proud partners of Dos Catas Tequila, who puts this party on. Great pizza, as we saw, a great bar, all these TVs to watch the great college games that are on Saturday. So please join us on Saturday at Crust and Roo starting at 5 o'clock. And by the way, if you're not in Las Vegas and you want to order some Dos Catas Tequila, just go to doscatastequila.com. You can put your order online and get it shipped wherever you want. All the details are at doscatasspirits.com.
It's Raider Nation Radio here, the morning tailgate. Thanks for being with us. That was Lincoln Kennedy, Raiders analyst, on Sundays with Jason Horowitz. 11:30, the pregame begins. Q's kickoff at 10:30. And he doesn't know how to scout what the Raiders are doing against the Cleveland Browns because this team doesn't have an identity in his eyes. Well, let's turn our attention to Mary Kay Cabot, longtime writer with the Cleveland Browns, Cleveland.com, and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She joins us now here on Raider Nation Radio. Mary Kay Cabot, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning to you. All right, and that being said, we heard some things this week from Deshaun Watson saying, you know, more or less, I'm not a running back. When asked about design plays and design run calls for him, how do you feel he's beginning to fit into this offense as they are now 1-2, not unlike the Raiders?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that that's a big deal that he's saying that he doesn't want more designed or called runs, okay, because he runs enough in his role as a dual threat quarterback. So I really don't think that that's that big of an issue. I think a lot was made of it, but I really think that this week that's much ado about nothing. I think the larger issue is that the Browns passing game is in disarray. They have so many injuries up front on the offensive line, especially at the tackle positions. David Njoku is out. That hasn't helped matters. It's a new offense. It hasn't come together yet. Deshaun hasn't necessarily played his best ball yet, but neither has anyone else. So there are a lot of problems here, similar to what's going on out there, and I think it's two kind of lost teams bumping up against each other.
I completely agree, and always great to get true context from somebody that has their boots on the ground, you know, with the Cleveland Browns, because from afar, I think everybody is, what's going on with Deshaun Watson, pointing the finger at Deshaun Watson, and maybe rightfully so. But Mary, when you mentioned all of those components, it makes the case where this is a collective effort that's not coming together, as opposed maybe to a quarterback problem. But I will respectfully ask you that question. What do you feel is the biggest culprit, and where are we with Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns? Because that, just from afar, doesn't seem like it's worked on any level.
Well, first of all, when you're looking at it from afar, I can see why it would look exactly like that. But when you look at Deshaun, his first year, he was suspended for 11 games.
Right.
His second year, he was hurt the entire season, starting in week 3, and he missed 11 games. So those first 2 years were kind of a wash. Then you come to this year, brand new offense. He's coming off of shoulder surgery. Amari Cooper wasn't himself in the first two games at all. He kind of woke up in this pass game. And then you've got horrible offensive line problems. You've got David Njoku, his top target from last year, who hasn't played because he has a high ankle sprain. So there are a ton of problems. And again, Deshaun's not necessarily playing his best ball. So he is part of the problem, but only a part of the problem. And I think people are ready to completely bury him, write him off as broken and finished. And I just don't think that's true yet. I think that's premature. I think that he needs a couple of get-right games. Maybe this will be one for him. But I just think that everyone is very quick to bury him, and I think a lot of that is because of his off-the-field issues. He is never going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Mary Kay, when game planning for the Raiders, the conversation usually starts with Max Crosby, and I would imagine the same is true in Cleveland with Myles Garrett, the reigning defensive player of the year. What is the status on him? Because every time an injury report comes out, it seems like there's something new added to Myles Garrett. What does his status look like ahead of Sunday. And you know, they always say a 50% Max Crosby is still better than most defensive ends. I would imagine the same is true with Garrett.
The same is absolutely true for Myles Garrett. He is one of those generational talents, as you mentioned, reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He was off to a really good start, but he has some feet issues. He had surgery when he was 11 and 12, two different surgeries to repair his flat feet. And those surgeries kind of have come back to haunt him. The pain and the inflammation is back, and it's causing residual problems. So he added an Achilles injury, and he added a thigh injury in this past game. He was very hobbled after the game. He's not himself right now. So I don't know how many snaps he's going to play. But even, once again, 40% or 50% of Miles, when you can get him on the field, he's a game wrecker. And he can change the game, just like you said, Max Crosby can do. So they need him out there. He's going to be out there. And he'll play as much as he possibly can.
When you think about how strong that defense has been, what has Jim Schwartz been able to do this year that has been different from other years? Because the talent level seems to keep rising. In fact, you're getting so much great production just about from everybody. Who do you expect, and who are you starting to see like a rising star out of this defense?
Well, I'll tell you, in the Browns' two losses, the defense was partially to blame for helping them dig into holes. They were down 20-3 against the Cowboys. They were down at halftime. They were down 21-7 against the Giants. And that's not helping their offense at all. Now, they pulled it together in the second half in both games. They made some nice adjustments.
Right.
But they have not started out well. And that's going to be a key in this game. If the Raiders can catch them off guard a little bit and kind of have their get-right game against this defense, that's what's been going on with the Browns, is just slow starts defensively. So they really need to kind of pull it together early in the game, and they need to get better play from guys like Martin Emerson Jr. He struggled a little bit against Malik Nabers in this past game. And Denzel Ward, their lockdown corner, has a shoulder injury, so he really hasn't been himself. So they have some really, really good guys on this defense. But they also have some guys who are struggling right now, and that's hurt them.
We're talking to Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Browns beat writer for Cleveland.com. That's the Plain Dealer, Browns analyst for WKYC-TV. All right, Mary, when I look at the NFC North or AFC North standing, there's kind of a bizarro world going on right now. The Steelers with Justin Fields, not Russell Wilson, at quarterback are 3-0. The Bengals with Joe Burrow at quarterback are 0-3. And then it's 1-2, 1-2 with the Browns and Ravens. If I were to ask you today if that is going to remain intact in terms of the order of those standings, or maybe it just gets completely reversed by the end of the season, where would you go?
Well, I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be a fight to the finish. And here's the thing. The Browns and Steelers, Ravens, Bengals are all going to be featured on AFC North Hard Knocks in the final six games of the season.
Love it.
They will all be playing each other a lot during those games. There will be a lot of prime time games. And I think it's going to be great theater, because anything can still happen in this AFC North. It is topsy-turvy right now. Who would have thought that the Steelers with Justin Fields would be 3-0 and atop the AFC North, and that the Bengals would be 0-3. So I don't think it's going to remain like this. I think it's going to get all jumbled up, and I think it's going to be up and down and all over the place, and I think all the world will get to see it play out in those final six games.
Mary Kay, here on this show, we've been trying to ask the question, what do we expect to see from the Raiders come Sunday? And unfortunately, we don't really have an answer of what we're going to expect, what we're going to see on Sunday. I'm curious, what kind of game do you expect to see? Obviously, from the Cleveland perspective, but in terms of this game, the way Cleveland is viewing the Raiders and the weapons that they have, what kind of game do you expect at Allegiant Stadium?
Tough to predict this game just because of all the things that we've talked about, but I think both teams are in get right mode. I think when Antonio Pierce called out that team, I think it sort of puts you in gut check mode. That's what happened with the Giants when they came in here. So I think the Browns are expecting a really good battle, a tough fight from the Raiders. I think both teams are going to play better than they have played before. I think there will be some mistakes. I think it will come down to takeaways, turnovers. So if Miles can rattle Gardner Minshew into some interceptions, I think that that will be a key to the game, and vice versa. But that's the kind of game I think it's going to be, a tough, hard-fought, scrappy game, and it will come down to who can menace the QB into mistakes.
Mary Kay, we look forward to seeing you out here come Sunday. Thank you again for your time today. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's the great Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. And you know what? They're looking around for answers, too, both on offense and on defense, and the defense reeling with injuries. But for somebody like Deshaun Watson, they still haven't been able to get the kind of production that they were hoping for when they even traded for Jerry Jeudy. So when does it come around for them? Because their offensive line is very banged up.
Yeah, and I like the context that that she put on it, because everybody's burying Deshaun, and I do feel like his off-the-field, you know, situation that seems to be ongoing probably plays a role in that. Nobody's going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it feels like, just talking to Mary, that there's a lot of extenuating circumstances, you know, that might be holding him back. But I'll say this, Vince. I just feel like at any moment, if it can come together for the Browns offense, and Deshaun can go back to being, if this is ever possible, we'll see, to being the Deshaun that he was with the Houston Texans, that turns everything around in Cleveland. Because then we were talking about a top five quarterback. Is it just the injuries? Is it the time off? Is it the combination of everything? Is he being weighed down by you know, the predicament that he got into?
I don't know how you cannot.
Right? Is that affecting him, you know, mentally? Because we're talking about a quarterback. Now, obviously, you look at the numbers. Somebody was willing to pay him that. There were other teams that were willing to pay him a lot of money as well. And yet, you know, he's just kind of fallen off the face of the earth as it relates to that.
Yeah, a lot of talent, obviously. I mean, the question is, you know, not is he talented, is he, can he put it all together
right
again? And that's a legitimate question, because that's a
game changer,
franchise defining question.
Otherwise, you're just
otherwise now you got to wait for the next. Yeah, you're just
waiting
stuck
for the next guy,
stuck in mediocrity and hoping for you can get another guy. That
but I mean,
you have those extenuating,
and you're also paying 200. How much more? Like
a lot of guarantees.
All of
there.
That. A lot. It's all right. Exactly. So like it's just when you say franchise changing.
Yeah.
It's on so many different levels, because this is not something that you can just move on from.
Yeah,
you're
going
to be paying this and then potentially searching for his replacement, who presumably if you hit on, you're going to have to pay too. That's it's just such a crazy situation for the Browns.
Yeah. My takeaway having that incredible discussion behind enemy lines with Mary Kay sounds very similar to what the Raiders are going through.
Yes.
You talk about that offensive line being in shambles, and I understand that there's a bit of an issue going around the National Football League when it comes to offensive linemen and just lines in general holding up.
Goes all the way back to college football.
100%. So, you know, the story of Sunday is really going to be which line holds up. You know, at first, 2 weeks ago, I would say whichever defensive line makes the most plays. But now it's the inverse. It's
right.
Which offensive line can truly hold up better in this game is probably going to be the victor. I know, you know, you can get in turnovers, time of possession, all that stuff. But, I mean, these are two offensive lines that have some serious, serious questions in both the run and pass protect. So that's why I was curious when I asked her, what does she expect?
Right.
And she likened it to the Giants when the Giants got blown out and they came and played Cleveland tough, and it was, you know, a different team. And that's kind of what we were talking about, Clay. The beauty, a week-to-week league the NFL is, and your fortunes can change in a seven-day period.
Coming up next, we'll get more of your thoughts up on the text line at 702-365-9200. Join me tonight, Chickies and Pete's, for Thursday Night Football. Cowboys at the Giants inside the Sahara, where it's always free parking. We'll have great food, great drink specials, and Raider Nation Radio swag tonight. Thursday Night Football, Chickies and Pete's at the Sahara on Raider Nation Radio.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
Wrapping up hour number two here on Raider Nation Radio. The Morning Tailgate just went behind enemy lines. Cleveland Browns ace reporter Mary Kay Cabin. Vinny.
Yeah.
Got a little story time for us.
Well, she has a very deep Las Vegas connection. Her daughter, and I want to throw this out to our listeners, and maybe to you guys as well. Her daughter was in acrobatic school. You know, there's a lot of acrobats.
Cirque du Soleil.
All that type of stuff where, you know, there's various shows here in town. Which, I mean, that's just like, like it was the first person that I know who has a family member that trained to be an acrobat. Like we see them, and like everyone has a story. That's what I you know that
yep.
doing what you do and what I do as well. Everyone does have a story, and that's such a unique occupation and a unique life's goal. Like if you weren't doing this, and there was something that was just off, not off the beaten path, but just something that. Man, I wish I kind of like an astronaut or something like that. You know, like when you.
Why would you take it? That's what I was going to be.
Really?
An astronaut.
Right. There you
I
go.
Just, I always told everybody I always wanted to be an astronaut. I just didn't know if I'd be brave enough to actually, when it's time to get in the rocket, to head up.
That part of it would have been.
That's the part.
That's like, the easy part for me. It would have been all the, like, the you have to be really
see,
smart.
I was the I was the inverse.
An idiot, so.
I was the inverse. I was fascinated. I still am fascinated yeah. with space and everything that goes into it. It was always like. All right, someone would literally just have to put me and strap me in, and then just, all right, let's see where we go.
Right,
get some of those NASA Xanax to kind of like deal with the deal with the claustrophobia.
NASA Xanax, yeah. Need some
they
of
just brought somebody back that was up there for how long? Like months and
wait,
months.
Wait, did they get them?
Yeah, they came. Somebody
I thought
came
they
back.
Were stuck there till February.
No, I saw somebody come back that was out there. Maybe there was that was a different one that you know we have multiple people.
Did we have this discussion?
Yeah, they called Uber and they got a Uber ride.
What about one you? Way, what about trip? You, Clay? What when you were maybe young, like something that you would have had to devote. You know,
a lifetime towards.
Yeah. Like, you can't just wake up and say, I want to be an acrobat.
But you know what? That's a thing. Like, this town has that.
Right. That's what
they
I'm saying.
They have a, there's, I think it's called the Circus Center.
That's what
it's
you
on
went
Jones,
to.
And yeah. it's all about aerial arts. And you got, like, time-tested professors yeah. and people that have been in the business for a long time. It's amazing because you're seeing, like, nine-year-olds doing 30-foot drops.
Well, this is a girl that grew up yeah. in Ohio who... aspired like something inspired her to want to do that to the point where she came to the world renowned I think it's called like you said Circus Center right
yeah
you know like
it's not that's, far from here
that's an amazing like just not random but it's just an amazing foresight for a young person to have that kind of a goal in mind and to devote whatever you know that they needed to do to go be it. I'm curious to, when I talk to Mary on Sunday, like what's the update? Because she's graduated, so maybe she's out here working somewhere or somewhere else. Maybe she's in Europe or
that's the thing. Like, is there job placement programs? I bet they would in
course.
A town like this.
That's where they. That's that, yeah. that's the feeder program, you know, for here and probably elsewhere. But an astronaut, I always wanted to own a restaurant. That was my right or. Own a restaurant. And
there's still time, Vinny.
There's definitely still time, although that's a dicey business these
I'll
days.
I'll be your maître d'.
There you go. Vincent.
I'll be the maître d'.
Yes. Hey, would you take
the,
would
you got
take
the tuxedo options?
I always
you
thought
wear the tuxedo
I would be
to work.
The guy that's taking the $100 to set somebody else up on the...
Yeah.
It,
hey.
Right?
Hey, you want
if
a good
it's
seat?
Free, it's for me. Yeah.
You want a good seat. I know a guy.
I'm sorry. We have no tables available. Here's your $200. Wow. Just something just opened
table
up.
Table one just
yeah.
opened up.
Yeah, because that scene out of Goodfellas where they go snap and he yes. brings a brand new table right in front of the stage. Yeah,
Phil
I could do that.
Phil Jackson, by the way, was renowned. Like they, you know, the Lakers PR director John Black said he used to go out with him all the time. And it's like we would be like in cities where and he John was always he always knew the top restaurants, but it was like there's no way there's always a 2 month waiting, mm-hmm. you know. And Phil would be like, yeah. I know somebody.
Yeah,
and we would just walk right in and get the best table in the house. It's like Phil, you never cease. to him anywhere. And it would, you know, like he loved Tex-Mex food. So, like the hottest Tex-Mex, wherever they were in San Antonio. No. Yeah, don't even worry about this. How many guys we got going? 15? Right. I can make it happen. So, Phil, in addition to the triangle offense, was a master at getting groups of people into the best restaurants wherever the Lakers are traveling.
Tex Winter, not so much.
Yeah,
well, Tex is trying to get into the same restaurant.
Hey, right. Let me in.
There's
two astronauts still stuck in space.
Oh, okay. Somebody came back just the other day that I saw. Maybe it wasn't, but they were saying like her equilibrium was all jacked up.
Yeah, right.
Zero gravity.
It takes a couple of days for that to return. Yeah, that's a fascinating story, right?
Could you just, you're up in space, you're doing a job, like, you've been
there
so...
Oh, by the way,
you get a
you've
call.
You've prepared for...
Your phone buzzes, or however they connect up there, saying, hey, you know how, you know,
you're
coming
to be back
home
next
in a couple
Tuesday?
Days? Yeah, yeah. Well, we can't get you.
Right.
It's okay. Not even like, hey, you know, we're going to get you later. It's we can't get to you right now.
Right. You would, you're right. There
How
would be a catastrophe.
How does panic not set in?
Well, and as many airports as I'm in, and I see people freaking out over an hour delay. Like, put that in perspective. Like, they got to.
At the Applebee's, they're sitting there eating
no,
chicken.
I'm talking.
Yeah, they're sitting there saying, I'm. I got to be here another hour. Right. Got to order another thing of boneless wings.
Screaming and complaining to the gate, you know, who has nothing to do with the fact that the plane has been delayed in Tulsa.
And zero power.
Right. Like, why are you screaming at me? There's nothing I can magically whip up. I can't. You're not Phil Jackson. I'm not a maitre d'. I can't go get the table to make all this right. There's a plane that's literally not here right now.
Just started the shift.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on right now. You're yelling at me. I don't know where your suitcase is.
I watched some of those conversations happen. It's fascinating to me. And I love the complete, like, the they'll just be typing something randomly and just like, yeah, I'm not listening to you right now.
They hit the keyboard. Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
processing.
What are you really?
Yeah. Processing.
Data. Let me. I'm not listening to you, and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not really typing anything right here. I'm making my bets online, so I'm just pretending like I'm working right here while you're screaming. But, yeah, to your point, like, it's not until February now.
That's that I just
when
I
somebody else goes out there.
I couldn't fathom what they must be going through just mentally.
I hope there's some good liquor on that.
Like, claustrophobia, like, aside, right? You would think that if you're able to do that, you've been able to master that. But my goodness, this was like months ago that they said we're not going to get you till February. What are we in? September, almost October. Like,
it's been a while.
Oh my God, gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
What if we just took our chances? Like 50-50. I'll wait till February.
Right. When we get through the asteroid belt, we'll find you.
Right.
702-365-9200. More of your calls on the other side. It's Raider Nation Radio with the Morning Tailgate.